All right, now I'm recording. This is Eli Bosnick from God Awful Movies and Scathing Atheist, and you're listening to the Inciting Incident podcast because poof, jingly keys, jingly keys.
It's Friday, and it's 7 p.m., which means it's time for the Inciting Incident podcast, supported by our patrons and available on Libsyn, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, LiveJournal, Google Plus, The Hard Harry Show, News Radio, WHP 580, Rock and Emily's Bed Radios that are somehow appropriate for children that age, Most Tin Cans Connected with String, Tumblr, Snapchat, Zanga, LimeWire, WinMX, Napster. We'll have to spell it with two Y's there to escape Big Brother. The DCI, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, the Plate and Pete and Pete's Mother's Head, and any other podcast app that somehow escapes this list. And now, here's your host, Al Lehman.
Good evening. It's Friday. It's 7 p.m. That means it's time for Inciting Incident, as the glorious buttery-voiced man told you. I'm Al Lehman, and joining me is my family, Astrid Isley. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Excellent. Excellent. And I'm still stoked about who I got for an interview coming up on episode 62, but I'm going to keep that under wraps until the end of the show, because I can. But today, we are going to talk about a topic that it's very personal, and I sort of brought up in the last episode a little bit. What was the phrase you used to describe it?
Not freedom of speech, but freedom of hate speech.
Okay, and of course, me being the person you talked to about it, I already know what you mean, but for the sake of the other people, why don't you elaborate on that a little bit?
Everybody loves the concept of not being shot in the face or jailed for criticizing your government. However, is freedom of speech, should freedom of speech include hate speech?
Short answer? Don't know. I don't know. I had an encounter with a WBC-like protester today, and we'll get to that here further in the discussion, but my SJW fairy godmother here definitely wanted to bring that up, and we were going to record another episode 2 days ago, or yesterday. We didn't. So here we are.
Yes, indeed.
And I did my best to not use the interview I had already, because I wanted to save it and give patrons a little time to hear it a little more. So you're welcome. Those of you who've already listened to episode 60, which I hope is all of you, I had an encounter on campus, at UPenn campus, with hate preachers. I will not call them pastors, I will not call them Christians, because I feel like that's an offense to the people I know who are Christians and aren't total douchebags. So we'll just call him Pastor Aiden. That is in no way his real name, or it might
clearly,
totally be.
Clearly, it should be Pastor Carl. Just
yeah.
Saying.
Yeah. Fuck you, Carl.
Fuck you, Carl.
So Carl comes up to me about a week and a half ago, and starts calling me names for having the gall to walk by and not pay any attention. And there's counter-protests going on, and part of me really just took the, oh, don't give them what they want, you know, blah, 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 don't pay any attention, this is what gives people like this power, that's what they want. Today I had a different thought, and that was, fuck these people.
Fuck Carl.
Fuck Carl especially. I mean, this guy is going to a place where, as you know from previous episodes, there has been a suicide epidemic. where kids are suffering, where the stress is so high that people have been having trouble. And he wants to come in there and claim that the reason that's happening is because people aren't Jesusing enough? Fuck you, Carl. I mean, in no other circumstance would anybody be defending this. If I went onto Liberty University and told them the reason that there was a suicide epidemic was because they weren't listening to Eli Bosnick enough, in no way would that be acceptable.
Not even close.
There wouldn't be anybody defending me, probably not even atheists, and they shouldn't, because that is a terrible thing to do.
Abso-fucking-lutely. The real question here is, should we respect somebody's right to actually hurt people with their words? Should we respect somebody's quote-unquote right to use verbal violence against marginalized groups? Because, not naming any names, but America's Hat happens to have made hate speech illegal. So the people who, I'm pretty sure you can guess who they were just from hearing the description, those lovely people who decided to protest at your school, they aren't allowed to protest in Canada. The KKK isn't allowed to protest in Canada.
Yeah. For those of you who've never been to UPenn, it is an urban campus. It's right in the middle of University City, Philadelphia. And the reason, supposedly, that they're allowed to do this in the middle of the square is because that Locust Walk is public property. But does not your freedom to say whatever you want end when you are blatantly baiting people, when you are going out of your way to hurt people, when you are going up to children? I don't care if they're 18. These are children, and they were pointed out that some of them were children. When you are going up to them, calling them names, saying horrible things to them, telling them they're going to burn in hell in the lake of fire, I get that that's part of this mythos, and a lot of people believe that. That still doesn't make it okay. If, once again, if I walked up to someone on the street without the context of religion and said, I hope you get set on fire for what you're wearing, nobody would find that acceptable, but because the guy's wearing a Jesus shirt, it's okay. So, help me out a little bit here, Astrid. You have some experience with these people, too, I'm sure. Maybe not these specific ones, but we'll call them all Carl.
Yeah, all Carl. Fuck every Carl. The thing that people are kind of failing to realize when it comes to freedom of speech is that indifference to hateful speech only comes from a place of privilege. Just like on Fox News, there was a debate in which they said, what's worse, cracker or the N-word? Obviously, it's the one that you have to fucking censor.
Yeah.
You should not be allowed to inflict emotional harm with your words on fucking Ivy League students. Do you know how stressful Ivy League is?
Yes.
I don't, personally. I don't.
You get to see it secondhand, though.
But I do get to see it secondhand. People are killing themselves because their life is already too much for them to fucking handle. They don't need your religious quackery pushing them over the edge because you think it's saving them. That's some, like, fucked up Mother Teresa shit.
Yeah. And I want to give some specific examples of what these people were saying, just because I don't want you to think it's just someone trying to pass along the word of God and being blamed for causing a reaction. These people were all wearing anti-gay shirts, had anti-gay signs, and were baiting people to hit them. It was clearly an attempt at martyrdom, but the point is, the guy who I was talking to had a shirt that said the word homo, had a, you know, circle and a line through it, and was walking up to people and verbally assaulting them. Now, I realize that is not technically the same as physically assaulting them, but why is this okay? You know, there's Jehovah's Witnesses on campus. You know what they do? They sit there with their fucking stands and don't bother anybody. Why is this guy okay?
He's not. He's really, really fucking not. And I, for one, think it's about time that we collectively just acknowledge that for goddamn change. I understand that we are all very attached to our freedoms or whatever the fuck you want to call it, but Nobody should have that right. You should not have the right to verbally assault people. And I know that a lot of our listeners are probably sitting here wondering, like, how can words be violence? That doesn't make any sense.
I'll give you some specific examples. There was a girl in, what's the word? Hijab? Is it hijab?
There are many types of Islamic veils, but wearing an Islamic veil.
Okay. And this girl was 17 years old, and she was standing by watching, and he started calling her names, and then walked up to her and called her words I'm not going to mention, and said, "Have you ever read the New Testament?" She said, "No." She said, "Well, you're headed to the lake of fire." Went up to a Jewish student, said the same thing. Went up to me before I even said anything, called me a dirty hippie, said he would never hire somebody like me, criticized me for having long hair, and called me a porn monger. Okay, this is the guy who belongs to the church with the book that says only God can judge you. And in a matter of 15 minutes, he had managed to judge 4 things about me without me saying anything to him. And he was doing plenty to hundreds of other passing, vulnerable, young, stressed out students. Now, do they have the right to walk away? Of course they do. But why does this guy have the right to go unchecked? And why are people encouraged to ignore this type of behavior? This is how we get Trump. Because everybody goes, oh, he's just a loudmouth who says terrible, racist, bigoted things. Ignore him. Well, that didn't work.
And, like, honestly, I will be the first person in any conversation to propose just saying, hey, your opinion is shit and you should feel bad. But that doesn't even fucking apply here, okay? I say your opinion is shit and you should feel bad probably like 5 times a day, you know? It's a pretty frequent statement for me, but there are not words to properly express how fucked up it is to be emotionally abused by strangers on the fucking street, especially when you are at your school, your goddamn school, the place where you are paying money to just learn things. That's what a school is for. You don't get to verbally abuse people on the street. That's not a right.
Locust Walk isn't a street. It's a brick road that goes through campus.
I've been there.
So, yeah. You know, this is right in front of that bent button. So, first of all, I said this last episode, but I'm going to say it again. He's doing this in front of the statue of the guy who fucked anything with legs. And he's just... it makes me so mad. Look, I can handle it. I exchange insults for a living. But these are young kids who, a lot of them, have never been away from home before, and now they got to deal with someone calling them a homo or a whore or other words I'm not going to mention simply because they don't specifically believe in his definition of Jesus, which his version of heaven that he was explaining, there has to be about 9 people there. This guy declared himself to be without sin, which I'm pretty sure isn't how it works. He declared himself to be a saint, and he declared himself to be speaking for God. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I am but a simple heathen. Isn't that blasphemy? I'm pretty sure that's blasphemy.
It's either blasphemy or, like, false idolatry?
Idolatry.
Idolatry, there we go. Sorry, guys, I'm tired. I normally would have known that. It's one of the two.
I'm sure that's a commandment somewhere. I think it's high on the list. I'm not certain. But anyway, so, like I said, I was walking by, I wasn't going to get involved, but then I just had this moment where I went, fuck it, I'm going to counter-protest. And there are several videos, I believe you've seen them.
Yeah.
And first we just started drowning him out with terrible music. Then I just started fucking with him. Like, really, just fucking with him, because, like I said, I'm 31. I don't give a fuck what this guy says. Once you realize how hilarious it is that he thinks this is what his loving God is, it's phenomenal. You know, not only is he going after the gays and women and Muslims, but he's going after Catholics And anybody who says they are a Christian, he calls them a fake Christian. Like, he's specifically like, everybody sucks but me. And I'm pretty sure that's not how it works. I don't understand how this type of behavior is supposed to promote the religion of God. And then you have all these apologetics that he spews out. My favorite being, well, you should know there's a difference between the civil law of God and the moral law of God, and the polycotton thing you're bringing up and all that, you know, the cotton blends in the shellfish, that's civil law and that's been dismissed, but the moral law stays. So you're literally saying you're picking and choosing what you like, because some certain things have been evolved out of society, but you're gonna stick with the exact same chapter of Leviticus because two guys kissing grosses you the fuck out.
Obviously.
And then you say, I love you, I'm trying to help you, I don't hate you. That's why you're spewing fucking hate speech!
Honestly, and there was, for our listeners, there's one story about their harassment today in particular that really stuck out at me. Because I will, like, sarcastically slut-shame slut-shamers. Like, one of my more recent quotes is, if you want to sexualize tits, I'll sexualize your chin, asshole. You're showing a lot of elbow there. They actually yelled at a woman for showing too much shoulder.
Yeah, I mean, that really did bring shame onto her family. You know, too much of the top joint on her body was exposed. She was really being too suggestive because males can't control themselves, and she was really asking for it by showing shoulder. Fuck you, Carl.
Fuck you, Carl.
That is a young woman. And she had the guts to stand up to you, and that's how you're going to treat her because of your supposed God who loves everyone. You're going to yell at me for having long hair when every depiction of Jesus I've ever seen has long hair. And then try to claim that it's all Leonardo da Vinci, who, of course, is also a whore and a heathen. I don't know who isn't in your eyes besides the 10 people that are with you. But yes, I know that the popular depiction of Jesus is Leonardo da Vinci. But I've never seen a depiction of him that doesn't have long hair. So again, fuck you, Carl.
Fuck you, Carl.
The guy comes up to me and says, I would never hire you. I would never hire a dirty hippie like you. I said, first of all, you're using words that are 50 years old. Shut the fuck up. Second of all, I already have a job. I don't need to work for you, and I wouldn't anyway.
Not only do you have your own company, you own the parent company for your fucking companies. You don't need his goddamn job. You don't need to be employed by an actually insane bigot.
Yeah, and like I kept telling him, I read more than one book.
Yeah, reading's fundamental. Doing that shit will lead to skepticism and rational thinking, critical thinking.
And irreverence. For any topic that makes the news, makes it big, or... Oh, wait, that's another podcast. So, this was... I recommend this to anybody who really gets upset by these people. Once you realize how comical it is, and you don't give them the power to hurt you, they can't touch you. And the more I drew him to me, the less he was hurting people who were vulnerable. And I saw him make people cry, despite their best efforts. I refused to give this asshole the power to hurt me. So I kept distracting him the best I could, because he wasn't going to hurt me. I'm 31. These kids are 18. Some of them are younger than that. He could scar them. He could damage them. And I know the anti-safe space people are going, oh, you stand up on a man and people are weak, learn to stand up. Fuck you.
Fuck you. You are all Carl.
Yes.
Every single person that is anti-safe space either has a severe misunderstanding of what the fuck a safe space is, a severe misunderstanding of what the fuck PTSD is, or you're just a shitty person. Either way, we're in the age of information, so fuck you.
Yeah, you know, we just had a presidential candidate of the United States say that veterans who have PTSD, the strong ones, can handle it. What the fuck is going on?
I feel like he just, like, skimmed through some outdated case reports on fucking shell shock, or, like, battle sickness, because back then it was considered a weakness. You had to get over it within a short amount of time. But then science fucking caught up with the times and realized, hey, so maybe when people are exposed to multiple traumatic events for a long period of time, it's not the easiest thing to get over.
Yeah, and this coming from a fucking draft dodger. So we're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to yell at Carl some more. We'll
fuck
be right
you, Carl.
Back.
Inciting Incident couldn't keep bringing you commentary, interviews, and fantastic guests without help from you, the patrons. You can support the podcast on a monthly basis at patreon.com/incitingincident, which gives you access to many great rewards, including a free t-shirt if you pledge $5 or more. You can also support the show by subscribing, rating, reviewing, and commenting. To contact them about ideas, guests, disagreements, fisticuffs, salmon slapping, rebel rousing, or just plain old tomfoolery, you can email them at incitingincidentpodcast@gmail.com. On Facebook, at facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast, or yell into a tin cup and hope it's connected to one of our aforementioned string networks. And now, back to the show.
And we're back, and before we keep yelling at Carl, we're going to bring about our two sponsors here. First of all, our first sponsor from last week is, of course, Mind Aquarium with my friend Terry, who is an artist and doing some work for some of my other projects. Bring beauty into your home with Mind Aquarium, original custom art and prints by Terry Sheffield. Weird is welcome, which is perfect for this show. She's good people and does some very, very good work. I've known her for years, so you should definitely give her a like on Facebook. That is Mind Aquarium. She's fantastic. And we have a new sponsor from Dan Flanagan. We already gave him the rundown as well, but he is an official sponsor for Warriors of the Crystal. The trading card game is a loving homage to class-based JRPG games in card form. I have no idea what that means, but I'll take his word for it. Live your adventures in battles that include up to four players. Battles are dynamic, strategic, and exciting. Currently available are four theme decks, booster packs, and coming soon are two-player starter decks. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. Join the battle for Dios Crystal. Will you be the one crowned Crystal Champion? It sounds exciting. I know some of those words, but you should definitely check it out if any of those words mean anything to you. I don't nerds well, I just hang out with them, so, that's the best I can say. But, yeah, I hope they're not disappointed about sponsoring a podcast with more fucks than the South Park movie. But, in this case, I feel it's deserved.
Mm-hmm.
Alright, so, I feel like we can sort of bridge this conversation a little bit with some other things that are going on, since I have my SJW person here. I really feel like, even as activisty as I've gotten, partially because of your influence, there are a lot of terms that people don't know, and a lot of things that people are still trying to catch up on. So, the one term I've heard you use recently, and I've already asked you about this in private, is gaslighting. So, I've heard people ask me about this. I can't explain this. So let's give a hard left turn here and say fuck gaslighting and fuck gaslighting Carls. Astrid, tell us what gaslighting is.
Gaslighting is a term that describes a very specific form of abuse in which the abuser completely destroys their victim's sense of reality, rendering them incapable of trusting themselves, trusting their thoughts, trusting their feelings, and being entirely dependent on the abuser.
Okay, can you give us some context here? Not necessarily a personal story, but can you put this into a hypothetical, shall we say?
This is a hypothetical that I have noticed is actually pretty fucking common. I've met a lot of people who this has happened to. Parents who are unwilling to accept that their children have PTSD will frequently assume it's some other mental health issue because they don't want to accept that they may have failed. So they end up sending them to psychiatrists who will pump them full of antipsychotics. And I'm not bashing mental health care. I'm not bashing people who need medication to be all right. If you need medication, I support you wholeheartedly. I think it should be free and accessible. Whatever. That's not what this is. They will, it frequently happens that kids will end up on so many antipsychotics that they actually do end up developing psychotic symptoms. They will hallucinate, they will have mood swings, they will lose their shit. All because their sense of reality has been so distorted by their parents.
Alright. So what are some of the effects of this? How does this... I know you say you destroy their reality. How do they destroy reality?
Well, basically they will groom, which is actually a real term, they will groom their victims into not trusting themselves. They will make sure that the victim knows that without the rational stability of the abuser, that the victim is fucking worthless, they're fucking stupid, they can't do anything right, and you make them dependent on, or they make you dependent on them for anything that resembles functioning like an actual human.
Okay. Alright. And I think another one that people have been misusing recently is mansplain and manspread. Mansplain, I think, has been co-opted by people of just saying it's a man explaining a thing to a woman, and that's not correct, is it?
No.
Of course not. So, enlighten us, please.
People who have listened to the show religiously will remember me talking about how being born into certain privileges will give you a false sense of superiority or supremacy over people who do not have those privileges. So, like, white people are raised to feel superior to black people and other people of color. Men are raised to think that they are superior to women and other genders, etc. It takes a lot of unlearning to do, but, I'm drawing a blank. I'm so tired. What was the question?
Mansplaining.
Correct. So when you have somebody who thinks that they know more than you just by the merit of fucking existing, what ends up happening is they will explain shit to you that you already fucking know. Like, if you see a woman in a bar who orders a very specific craft beer and you walk over to her and tell her about the beer she just fucking ordered, she already knows all about the beer. She already knows all about craft beers. Because she just fucking ordered one that she likes. That's how that works. There are even examples of female authors writing books that are well received by the public. Fucking academic shit. Only to have men reference the book they fucking wrote when they are mansplaining the concept that they had brought up.
Okay, so it's not just the fact that the person explaining something is a man and the person to whom they're explaining is a woman. It's the condescending nature of it. It's the it's the fact that they're speaking to her like a child.
Yeah. See, men explain shit to me all the time because I actually do have a lot of male friends who know things that I don't. And I love my male friends. And so, like, my most recent example, I joined a fucking awesome Facebook group. And I noticed that people kept using the word flounce, and I had no idea what the fuck that meant. So I got on Messenger, and I was like, hey, Kevin, what the fuck is flounce, and why does everybody say that? And he explained it to me, and that was just the end of story. Because I didn't actually know what flounce meant. I didn't get the joke. I didn't know if it was, like, an inside thing, or, like, a running gag, or what. But when men explain shit that you already know, especially if they are agreeing with you, but for different reasons, that's fucking maddening. That's mansplaining. We already know. We've already read the book. We figured this shit out. We have our opinions. We don't need you to tell us how to fucking think.
Right. And a similar thing, manspread. I've heard this, I guess it's in reference to public transit?
Yeah. So here's the thing. I understand that cis men have balls, okay? Usually. they have balls. I get that. We're not talking about people whose legs are not, like, holding an aspirin between their knees. We're talking about people who will sit in one seat of, like, I don't know, a row of seats on a train, and their legs are spread so wide that nobody can sit near them. The excuse is, we have genitalia, we need to not, I don't know, tuck, I guess, is the argument. But that's not even it. If your balls are so goddamn huge that you need to take up more space than anybody else around you, you have a fucking issue. Go see a doctor. That's like fucking Randy from South Park carrying his balls in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, yeah. And just, you know, to refer to the earlier topic, the Daily Pennsylvanian posted an article about these people, and I'm kind of disappointed because they almost talked about nothing. They talked about the fact that they drowned them out with Kanye West songs. And here's some of the quotes. I don't understand why this is allowed on campus. It's hate speech. Yeah, no shit. Just seeing this on campus makes me feel like it's not a safe space for me. Yes, because that's the actual definition of a safe space, a private school. One of the things that I love that the guy kept saying is, I pay taxes, so I have more of a right to be here than you two. It's a private university, you fucking ignoramus! So let's see. Heated argument. Yeah, there's the part where they insulted the Muslim girl. I'm surprised nobody is pointing out the one that I heard about, but oh well. But, yeah, that was... Ugh. Fuck you, Carl.
Fuck you, Carl.
Let's see, is that... Yeah, let's just picture the asshole. Let's not picture the ring of hundreds of people who were protesting him. And I also have to say, you know, supposedly these are the outliers. These are the fringe people. These are the people that even good Christians, you know, who are evangelicals hate. But at the same time, do you know who kept being held back by security? Me! I was the one that security kept holding back. And let me make it certain, I had no intention of touching the guy. But I was pretty heated and I was yelling. And this guy's going around yelling slurs at children, but I'm the one who needs held back because I'm challenging him. Okay. That makes sense. Let's protect the guy who is baiting and assaulting people with his words. I don't understand why this is okay. I don't understand why it's completely acceptable for someone so full of hate and rage and such a fundamental misinterpretation of a Bible that I'm pretty sure is supposed to teach love everyone, and using it to single out everybody but 10 people on the goddamn planet.
What really confounds me about this, like, obviously it's not acceptable at all, and I think it's time that we stop pretending it is, but how the fuck are you going to take a book like the Bible and say, you know, this is a lot to take in at once, so I'm just gonna cherry pick, but pick the worst, most fucking obnoxious things to cherry pick. That's like, I don't know, a Shakespeare fan saying that Romeo and Juliet is the best play ever. Like, what?
Yeah.
What?
That's just the one they happen to know.
Yeah. Literally that.
Yeah, it's... Ugh. The one thing I really liked was he went open to one of the passages and he had it highlighted. And I said, haven't you desecrated your Bible with your homo highlighter there? You know, that's God's word, and you've modified it. You've touched it. Doesn't that make it invalid? Like, just trolling him at that. And I was proud of the fact that I coined the term homo highlighter. I feel like that should be a sitcom somewhere.
Homo highlighters will shortly be available in our online store.
Patreon.com/insiding. Come for the t-shirt, stay for the homo highlighter. Well, I think we've made our point here. Can I tell him?
What?
About our special guest interview?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'll be interviewing Professor Bruce Kuklick. That'll probably air later this month. He's a published historian in English cinema and sports. So we'll sit down and have a conversation about American history and cinema and its presentation. But the big one, the one that I've been waiting a very long time to say, I got an interview with Noam Chomsky. No shit. True story. He will not be coming on the show by voice because he's 87 and busy, but he agreed to an interview with me and answered my questions. So next week, we will be sitting down and talking about Noam Chomsky, specifically the views he brings about in Who Rules the World, book I finished reading, book I passed along to you, and I'm going to ask you and possibly another guest and Brian some of the questions that I asked him and see where we all stand on it, because Noam Chomsky is not exactly the rosiest picture-painting guy in the world, but this is a time and a reality where we need some hard-hitting, factual statements, and I'm stoked, and so is Andrew. Andrew Torres is now the official attorney of It's a Shameful Thing Lobsterhead LLC, and thereby inciting incidents, so I want to give a big thank you to Andrew Torres, who sponsors us and Scathing Atheist, although he was a little more worried about things they say getting them in trouble. So that's why we have Carl. Fuck you, Pastor Carl.
Fuck every Carl.
And just want to say that this podcast, Inciting Incident, and the name Al Layman are owned by It's a Shameful Thing Lobsterhead LLC. All rights reserved, copyright 2016. And Astrid, I want to thank you for sitting down with me and discussing the freedom of hate speech and why it's bullshit. You can, of course, follow us on Facebook and all that good stuff. You know what it is by now. Subscribe, rate, and donate to Patreon, and send us your own fuck you Carl stories, because we love those. So we're going to wrap it up right there, leave you as we always do, and next week, episode 62, Noam Chomsky's interview, and me answering the questions that he answered by reading them. So thank you very much. We will see you next week. Thanks, Astrid.
Thank you.
Driving up toward Green Bay, then east, the sun's in the rearview mirror. We both had some pretty tough weeks, white knuckles try to steer. A few more miles, there's no telling what we'll find. All we gotta do is take a little time. We all gotta find our own ways to love and hope and breathe again. For some that just happens to be on the shores of Lake Michigan. You can't explain the way a city grips your mind. All we gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Waves flow right in and hair rocks that vanish from our sight. Kinda like those troubles that wash away quicker in the moonlight. This crazy old world's got no reason or rhyme. All we gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Little little to no chance for all that stormy weather, no. It appears conditions won't get much better for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Sometimes this old world seems much worse than it should be. Couple days later, you're sitting and thinking how lovely. I won't question the scope or design. All I gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan.